The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all from Bar Canada at the D, or for the Spanish speakers of the audience, Barcanada, the barrage here at the D.
Every time I think I've identified the loudest slot machine in this place,
it's unbelievable.
There's a new one that pops up.
Some dude right over here, about, what would you say,
20 yards?
A little 20 yards from here.
Yeah.
That is the loudest slot machine in Las Vegas.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. It's absolutely right. By the way, a little breaking news. The Washington Commodores have just fired defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio. A matter 2 years too late, quite frankly. But new owner Josh Harris apparently has pulled the... pulled that move, which we thought he was going to wait till after the season. Maybe he just met with Rivera. Ron Rivera, by the way, will take over the defense, which yesterday, and by the way, if there was ever a time to fire someone, that performance by that defense, or lack thereof, was just brutality. And someone just tweeted, I want to give a shout out to a gentleman on Twitter who just wrote about the Indiana Jet on Twitter, said Cowboys were averaging 9.8 yards per play at the half, 8.6 yards per play for the game. Washington was just compiling time of possession and yards stats like a 41-year-old Eddie Murray crawling to the plate to reach 500 homers in 1997. It's outstanding. Nice tweet, Indiana Jet. Well done. So Jack Del Rio, a little dust up there in Washington, and he's gonzo. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Ladies.
See how long the head coach lasts, yeah.
Oh, he's got how many more games left in the season? Six? Right. That's how many games left he's got. I don't know who they was. Someone else was asking who, I think Las Vegas, who's a Skins fan, was asking who do I think is a candidate to replace him. I don't know that it's Eric Bieniemy, quite frankly. I don't know. There's all these Bill Belichick rumors, too. Who knows?
Yeah.
I would not be in favor of that either, by the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Bieniemy. I don't know why you would think that's a slam dunk right now.
Not if you're shotgunning in fourth and one. I mean, come on. They got to get offensive linemen. It's so hard to evaluate the offense without offensive linemen. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He is at Fox Sports. He does a couple podcasts, Bear Bets Pods, one on college football, one on pro football. He was kind enough to join the Megapod this week. And I just want to give one more review of the Megapod, which just came in from a listener. And this will give an indication as to what that particular podcast was like. C.B. Moore said this week's Megapod was like the elementary school teacher trying to keep all the kids engaged in the final hour of school before winter summer break. Good luck, Gil. Still great, though. Hashtag Neil Diamond. He was our special guest, and he was part of the ruckus. Chris Velik, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I was, but my main goal was to provide being the cooler towards you, and it seems like I got off to a good start yesterday with putting a log. And that was fun. Yeah, a little entertainment. Some college fight songs, some Neil Diamond. hopefully I'll be invited back. By the way,
oh, sure.
Screw Paul Carr, by the way. He can go to hell. I hope he's wrong. I hope he loses his Liverpool Man City pick. The match is tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time, by the way. I'm more excited about Liverpool Man City than I am Ohio State Michigan tomorrow.
Wow, are you really? It's funny. We keep running into timely tweets. Coach Brian tweets, Nigel Seeley was opposite Paul on the Everton Man U game on the VSiN website as well. So you're mad at Paul for that. Nigel's oppo him on that.
Wow. A lot of Premier League action going on here.
By the way, you know what my favorite part of a numbers game is? Guest on guest crime. It's my favorite thing.
Chris, fair to say you're on the Liverpool side then?
I am. And okay. It's massive because if they can just get a point, like Paul did say that, and that's correct. Like the goal when you're going on in these big six type matches, like if you can get a point away from home and who Liverpool has already played this year early in the year, like they would be in an unbelievable position to potentially wind up winning the league. So if they can get a point tomorrow, I will be ecstatic. But yeah, that match is nice and early, and that will I'll be watching the end of that match on my laptop on the big noon kickoff set, unless it's like 4-0 City by then, which I hope it isn't.
More excited for Liverpool Man City than he is for the game between Michigan and Ohio State in a crappy Big Ten with two crappy teams on top.
Oh.
Oh, he just stays.
I don't think either team is as good as maybe we thought they were at the beginning of the year. But I mean, Ohio State is a little bit better of a resume because they did play Notre Dame, but I don't think the Irish were turned out to be this great team. But maybe Michigan's played absolutely nobody, and I think those who are certainly doubting them and doubting their stance and how good they are the last couple of weeks. I mean, they were two Big Ten road wins, but at the same time, like neither Penn State or Maryland or any great shakes either. So it's the Big Two and everybody else.
Yeah, I shouldn't say crappy teams on top. I mean, relatively speaking to how people, I think the loser should be knocked out, by the way. I think the loser of this should be knocked out of the playoff. Do you think that would happen?
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. Like Michigan has nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
If they were to lose this game, they got nothing in the non-conference, and like it's the way the Big Ten has fallen this year, the league is not very good. If Ohio State were to lose, and at least they can say they have a non-conference win over Notre Dame, I guess that could potentially keep them around. But I just think there are too many teams lined up in the pecking order that ultimately would finish ahead of the Buckeyes. So Michigan, no shot if they lose. We talked about this as well. They will drop like a rock in the rankings if they were to lose at home field. But I think Ohio State could kind of linger a little bit and just kind of be around, and maybe people think they have a chance, even though I really don't think they would.
I think that's probably accurate. Did I hear a bet in there? Is there a bet on this game for you?
Yeah, I played under 47.5 on Saturday night when this thing first came out. I think you can still get around 46. I still think that's okay because I think J.J. McCarthy is really banged up. But at the same time, I trust their offensive line and being able to run the ball more than I do Kyle McCord and the Ohio State offensive line going on the road. I would actually lay the points here with Michigan in 3.5 because I do think coming home here off of this is the first home game that they've had since like the Harbaugh suspension was announced and all these allegations. And I just don't trust the Ohio State offense here coming on the road with that offensive line. I think it'll be this could be like a 23-10 type of game, and that would not shock me. So I have I'd lay the 3.5 and go under the 46. I think if you still could find 46 out there.
All right. Jim Harbaugh's final game off the sidelines of his 3-game suspension tomorrow in the game against Ohio State. Let's go to today before we get to the rest of tomorrow. 13 games in college football today, bookended by the lowest total we'll ever see between Nebraska and Iowa and what we used to call the Civil War between Oregon and Oregon State. First of all, did you do anything with that total in the Iowa game?
No, I'm not going to do anything. I think what I'm going to hope for is, I'm sure it'll be on in our meeting room when I get there, but I'm going to hope maybe we get an early score in the game and then maybe go under like maybe 29 or something like that. If we get something along those lines, I think that might be the best way to play it for me, but I didn't do anything with that game pre-flop. I did play BC plus the 9.5. And I think you might even be able to get 10 out there against Miami right now. I even took a little on BC on the money line in that game. I just can't imagine this Miami team being very motivated to play here. You're in a couple of one-score games against some ranked teams, and one of them your biggest rival, and you drop both of them, and now you're going to be on the road in the Northeast, colder weather, probably going to be dark at halftime. BC's got the lacrosse lines on the field and the Musco lighting. Like it's not an atmosphere that I think Miami will be very motivated to play in early. So I did take BC plus the 9.5. You can probably still grab 10. And then I took TCU plus the points against Oklahoma. I know we were talking last week and BYU nearly beat OU outright. I have not seen a report early on Dylan Gabriel, if he is indeed going to play. I can't imagine that he would be able to, if he were in the protocol, if you were able to clear the protocol for a Friday game. And even so, other than the West Virginia game, Oklahoma's just been in a bunch of one-score type games in the Big 12. And TCU, I know they the win and get bowl eligible. I don't think that's a motivating factor. But this has kind of been the 2022 for TCU, where last year they won all those close games. Now this year they're losing them. They made a change at quarterback and benching Chandler Morris, and they've been much better, I think, offensively. Since Hoover, I think, is the backup who came in, but they've been better there, and I would expect them to be involved in another one score type game here. So I did take TCU plus the 10 in Norman as well.
All right, what about tomorrow beyond the Michigan Ohio State game?
Tomorrow, I like NC State getting 2.5 against North Carolina. I think the wrong team is favored. I think if you look at North Carolina, this season has followed a trend of what the previous seasons have been. They get off to a great start, get everybody excited, and then drop some games. You look at the last four FBS games that they played, I think they've allowed, 41, 45, 31, 30, 35, something like that. And they were very fortunate to win the Duke game in Chapel Hill a couple of weeks ago. They won that in overtime. Fortunate to do that, but might be the final time we see Drake May. And this is probably Dave Duren's best coaching job that he's done at NC State. They have not had great quarterback play all season long. They won a bunch of games, maybe a little benefited and based on some turnover luck, which is that happens. But their defense has been very good. It's much better than North Carolina's defense. And I took NC State plus 2.5. I kind of think they that the wrong team's favorite here. And then another game that I like tomorrow, and I know Utah's probably down to their fourth string quarterback or whatever it is, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. They can run they can run the ball 60 times.
Beat
Colorado 31-0. I mean, I would be shocked if Shedeur Sanders played the way Utah played last week against Arizona, getting embarrassed. We saw last month it was when they got beat by Oregon at Salt Lake, and then the following week is that 55-3 win over Arizona State. I think we're headed towards a similar type deal where Utah played a terrible game last week. They come back and beat Colorado very handily tomorrow.
Yeah, I had a buddy text me who said, I'm taking Colorado because Utah's down to their whatever string quarterback, and I was like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Yeah, not living through that. Chris, enjoy, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, bud. Same to you guys. Be well.
Chris Velika, star of this week's Megapod, it should be pointed out. We'll come back. Kelly and I will give you all our picks and F1 next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bets Giving is back. All of VSiN's hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who's the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com or go to the DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our Bets Giving group to follow the action. Right now, we said day one leader was Zach Cohen. Day two leader, we are told, is Patrick Maher. But we have a conflicting report.
JVT sent me different standings, so I don't really know what I'm looking
at. Oh, I thought it was Maher first, JVT second.
Maybe.
By the way, JVT employing the finest strategy there is. I'm just going to make very few bets.
He just waited.
And let everybody get destroyed by Detroit.
Yep.
I honestly think, and I don't know this for a fact because I'm not following anybody else's bets, but I would imagine that Detroit getting housed yesterday crushed everybody.
I had a few hundred dollars, invested into that side.
Me too.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll see. But yeah, JVT called. He said it on Monday. I think we're doing Hardwood handicappers. He's like, I'm just going to wait, probably not play anything the first 2 days and see where I'm at. And I'm like, that's probably a good idea.
As opposed to me making 5,000 bets and just getting crushed by Detroit in the end. Yeah, it's not good. It's not fun. It's a 7-day event, so we'll see. We're very early on. Bets of Giving. Hope everybody's following along. Certainly fun, that's for sure. Let's talk to Dr. Bob. He's a pioneer in using predictive algorithms to predict the outcomes of sporting events. He joins us now from somewhere outside of Denver, Colorado. We won't give a pinpoint location. Bob Stoll, you can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports and, of course, on the World Wide Web at drbobsports.com. Bob, good morning, sir, and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. It was a good one for me because my family all left me alone the entire day so I can catch up on my work.
Oh, is that how you spent it? Really? Did they get upset with you for that?
No, I mean, they've known me for a long time.
Okay. So it's kind of your brand inside the family. I can hear.
Yes,
it.
Like, please leave me alone. This is the toughest week of the year for me. I don't like turkey, and I need to catch up on my work. So they left in the morning for my in-law's place. My mom and my sister joined them over there, and everyone left me alone. and I was able to work all day until 4:15 in the morning and caught up a little bit.
Nice. Okay, I can just hear your wife now. Oh, Bob, go ahead, work. All right.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to ask you about this because I just got a text on this. There's a prominent offshore, before we get to your picks, there's a prominent offshore that stopped putting up game props entirely for this Iowa game because the total's a unicorn, right? The total's a unicorn, so low that they don't know how to properly price things. You know, such as, will the team that scores first win the game? Like, they have no idea what to do with any of this. What's the game's largest lead? Are you involved?
Maybe it's the team that scores will win the game.
Yeah, we're talking about Iowa, Nebraska, where the total is now 24.5 consensus.
Yeah.
Well, have you done you do anything with this game? Anything?
Yeah, I made it 14-11. Iowa, I actually nearly bet Iowa here. If the line would have gone to 3 and it's teetering and it's 2.5 and juiced, I might play something small in Iowa at +3. And they say I have nothing to play for, but I don't believe in that crap. I mean, you know, they've already locked up their, you know, division, but, you know, oh, they have nothing to play for. Nebraska's playing for a bowl game. That shit doesn't matter. I think Iowa's in a good spot, good enough spot, and you know, the 25 is picking up to 25. So I made it 14-11 Iowa. It's a field position game, and Iowa's got the best special teams in the country. And it matters in games like this where the total, where the scoring is low.
Sure
does. Matter more.
Yeah.
And they've been about 6.5 points better than an average team in special teams hidden yardage this year. And that's why they're outscoring their opponents by whatever 6.5 points a game, despite being outgained. Because special teams makes all the difference for a team like Iowa, and they're very good at it. So I think that's what's not in the line here. So I like, you know, Iowa. If it goes to 3, I'm playing it. So let's just you can call it an official you know, official play from Dr. Bob if it goes to 3.
Okay, Nebraska right now favored by 2 with again the total at 24.5.
2.5.
Yeah,
leaning toward 3.
2.5 and teetering now. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
that game kicks off in 40 minutes, as does some action between Toledo and Central Michigan. You have a thought on this game?
Yeah, I have a strong opinion. It's not quite a best bet, but strong opinions are games that put half units on, and they have a, you know, 54.5% win rate over 30 years or something. I mean, they've been good over many years, which is profitable. And I like Toledo -10 or less, and right now it's at 10. Central Michigan, one of the worst defensive teams in the nation. You know, they've got 6.5 yards per play against teams that would normally allow 4.9 against an average defensive team. They haven't played a good offensive team since giving up over 9 yards a play to Notre Dame in week 3. They've faced a really soft schedule of offenses. The Rockets of Toledo do have a good offense, and they've faced 4 bad defensive teams this year, none quite as bad as Central Michigan, but they've scored 49 against Western Michigan, 41 against UMass, 31 against Buffalo, and 49 against Eastern Michigan. That's an average of 42.5 points a game against bad defensive teams. And I think they'll get around 40 points in this game. Central Michigan have a tough time keeping up. They're averaging around 23 or so points a game. Toledo's only given up 22.5 points a game against teams that are basically the same offensively as Central Michigan is, which is a little bit below average. So I just think eventually Toledo gets the margin. I think the line is a little bit down because Toledo last year wrapped up their division and then lost 2 straight games before the MAC championship game. Last year they had to come back and rally to win against Bowling Green. But I've read articles on this, and the team has made it a point not to suffer the same fate as they did last year after wrapping up the division. And they still think they have a chance at a New Year's 6 bowl game by being the top-rated Group of 5 team. I don't think that's probably going to happen, but there is some incentive here for Toledo to play well, and I think they will. The math likes them, and I like them enough to make them a strong opinion.
Okay, enough to make a strong opinion. Again, for the for those out there, the Bob hierarchy goes 3-star, 3-star, 2-star, 1-star, strong opinion. So it's like his 4th tier. You don't do many 3-stars anymore, do you, Bob?
No, not that many. No, not that many.
Is there a reason for that?
Books have gotten tighter. A 3-star is supposed to be like a, you know, 61-62% bet. There just aren't a lot of those anymore.
Okay. Yeah, that's honest. All right, give us an NFL thought for a very tight Sunday of NFL action when it comes to the lines.
Yeah, I released New England -3 -120 as a best bet against the Giants, 2 stars. it's up to 3.5, and I still like them in this game as a two-star best bet at -3.5 against the Giants. I mean, here you got Tommy DeVito, who was terrible in college. I don't understand why this guy is in the NFL. I have a strong arm. You know, give me a contract. It's like, you know, Christian Hackenberg and Kyle Bowler. So there's a list of guys who have strong arms who suck and in college and somehow make it in the NFL. This guy's one of them. He's averaging 3.9 yards per pass play. And do you think he's going to do, you know, he's taking 22% sacks, which is what he did in college. He got sacked over 50 times a year at Syracuse. And now the Patriots blitz the fourth highest of any team in the league. Belichick is going to demolish DeVito. And they, you know, the Giants are second to worst in the league in yards per pass play relative against the blitz, relative to their against the man pass play. So relatively, they're much worse against the blitz than against standard rush. And the Patriots blitz a lot. They're also much worse against man coverage than they are against zone coverage, relatively to how bad they are generally. And the Patriots are fourth highest in man coverage. So this is a horrible matchup for a horrible quarterback against a good defense and a good defensive schemer. And I just don't see how the Giants are going to score many points here. So that's basically the analysis: is the Giants suck on offense, and this is a terrible matchup for them. And so I bet New England minus the points and have an opinion on the under 34.5 as well. If it's still there, it might be 34 now, but
you got,
I like that.
Bob, you got the Patriots -3, did you say?
What -3, -120.
What about those who are only seeing it, who are like, well, I see, I don't want to buy down.
No, I have it as a 2-star best bet at 3.5 or less.
You
and
do.
A 1-star best bet up to -4. It is still a good bet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's still a good bet.
That's what I wanted to clarify. Bob, always a pleasure, man. Go say hello to your family, for God's sakes. You missed Thanksgiving.
They're still gone. They spent the night. I'm like, stay away from me. They'll be back sometime today.
Okay.
So that'd be nice.
All right. Dr. Bob, everybody. The great Dr. Bob. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Bob Stoll at drbobsports.com. Dr. Bob Sports. By the way, Kelly, if you had Dr. Bob in the first numbers game guest of the football season to curse, you cashed very long odds.
Yes, you did.
Mazel tov to you.
Oh, man. The book filling up over here.
Well, can I call you out for a second? Not call you out, but yeah. can I make fun of you? Kelly, we're here. I don't know if you know this, ladies and gentlemen. We're at Bar Canada at the D. So we're kind of out in the open here at the lovely D here in downtown Las Vegas. And so, you know, we're here early where it's kind of quiet.
Yeah.
And Kelly was openly wondering, why are there so many people here? And he texts me in the middle of the segment. He goes, oh, is there college football early?
Yes. It wasn't a question. I just figured it out. I was like, oh, yeah, college football early. That's why we got all these people here.
I feel like I have to have a bet on this total one way or the other in Iowa, Nebraska.
I like the teaser angle. I know that's
the teaser angle's great.
Yeah.
I also like the strategy if they score early quick, then you go under.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like the Jason over 20. It's only 24. I like it all. I like everything. We'll come back. F1 next with Bill Bobbitt.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's so much to be thankful for. Family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. On today's show and every show, Coach Brian, I can't even find Deron Bland for Defensive Player of the Year in one faraway place, and another doesn't even have a Defensive Player of the Year menu. Hashtag frustrating. Jay Buckley told my wife literally yesterday that Gil was an incredibly bright individual. Today he's reciting broadcast amendments, point proven. Hope the holiday was great. Thank you, Jay Buckley. Hope yours was as well. Just wanted a little background on the Black Friday game. That's all.
So I knew that was a thing, and like working in local news for as long as I have, I should have known. I didn't know it was like actually a law somewhere.
That is, it's to protect high school and college football. Yeah,
I just always thought it was
otherwise the NFL would run roughshod. They're not making any mutual agreements, verbal agreements. Judd O'Connor. I'm late to the Lions gripe. Lost both of my entries on it. That being said, Lions have peaked. Volatility works both ways. Campbell may be too stubborn to recognize when he's running bad. Yeah, man, you live and you die by the sword. You go for it every fourth down under the sun. It's gonna get you sometimes. Mike Stacks. Oh, we didn't bring this up today. Gil, I need the Dolphins today, which won't be easy, but can we give a shout-out to the moon for making the Lions 0-13? Remember that ridiculous trend I talked about yesterday with the moon in its phase, gibbous phase four, or whatever that was? I actually got a text from a really serious sports bettor who's like, that took me off the game. He goes, I didn't have enough gumption to bet the Packers. He goes, but I was going to bet the Lions like everybody else, and it took me off. The Lions are now 0-13 lifetime under the gibbous moon phase, whatever that is.
Makes me so angry, but okay.
Makes me angry.
That took you off a bet?
Took him off a bet. I was like, are you serious? He goes, yeah, man. A. Brown, I'm not going to tell him the name. A. Brown, who knew a discussion on betting Iowa football would be the spark for guests to let the expletives fly?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm trying to figure out that teaser thing right now. I'm just like throwing random things into a 10-point teaser. I think that's the way I do think that's smart.
Of course it is. But everything that everybody has said every which way on this total sounds smart to me. The teaser down, wait for them to score first, then go under, pre-flop it over anyway. You know, everything.
I love what you brought up. If someone got in front of some of those props, like those general game props that you see up for every football game, like that one you mentioned of team to score first.
Right.
Like,
this is, and it's such a great point. I'm glad we got, thank you, because Fez pointed it out to me. It's so, and we said this earlier because Jason brought it up where he's like, oh, people are telling me it's stupid to do these. They can go, you know, basically it was like, go to hell. I'm doing it anyway. And I made the point, and this corroborates it. There is no historical precedent right. For totals this low. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's dumb. They don't know.
Yeah.
And the books are, this book, which is as sharp as they come, they're like, we're taking everything down.
There's a lot of those things. If I was a book, I would not be posting today on that game. Because it's just, there's too correlated. Like, it's ridiculous.
24 and a hook. And if you do the 10, I mean, honestly, it's the Will Hill thing when it was 26 and a half, it applied too. If it's 7-7, you win. On the teaser,
right?
Yeah. The 10-point teaser down. Ladies and gentlemen, he is an instant crowd favorite on the show because he marched on in here last week before the Las Vegas Grand Prix, the F1 race here in Las Vegas, and he killed it. Staff writer for CBS Sportsline. You can follow him on Twitter at SpeedwaySteve2. That's the number 2. Phil Bobbitt, Motorsports Handicapper, joins us once again to talk Abu Dhabi. How you doing, Phil?
Doing great, Gil. This is tough. You know, I was telling you pre-show, it feels like we just crushed the drive last week and now we're staring at a 5-iron in the middle of the fairway. What are we going to do now?
What could possibly go wrong, Phil?
This Who knows?
Is, honestly, this is by popular demand. We got a lot of tweets. We're like, could you have the F1 guy back? Because he couldn't miss. Your Las Vegas, which was the bet you were the most proud of in the Las Vegas race last week?
Really, really was proud of that. Sean Leclerc, winner without Max Verstappen, you were in a great spot. You saw that cash on the last lap. That was really exciting. I woke up all my neighbors here at 4 a.m. So that was a good one.
I was in a perfect vantage point for when Leclerc passed him the first, like early in the race, I believe it was. And it was just on the straightaway where he took the inside on him. It was just a beautiful vantage point for everything. So now here we are. We're in Abu Dhabi. I know you already hit some head to heads in practice last night, right?
We make money even when we sleep over here at Speedway Steve too. So give us a follow. But Abu Dhabi, we've upped the difficulty here, guys. We're coming on after the first two practice sessions. So the board is very fluid right now, and it's starting to populate. But Abu Dhabi, it's a 5.281 kilometer track. There's 16 turns and we've got two long straights to deal with, not just one super long straight like Las Vegas. It's in the Middle East, so it's going to be warmer. We're using the same tire compounds, so everything should go as designed with these guys. We won't see that chaos. In fact, this is a pretty boring race generally. So that brings us to our first bet, Gil. We're going to take classified finishers over 18 and a half. It was plus 200 when I sent it in. It's plus 225 now because there was a couple incidents during the second practice session. So the books adjusted. We're getting a better price. Let's lock it in over 18 and a half.
Did the under 16 and a half cash in Las Vegas? It did, right?
It did not.
It
that
did
was
not.
One that didn't get home.
Oh.
We had a lot of chaos, but nobody was hurt beyond repair. So a lot of cars limping around there. None were done for the day. So that stunk. But this is a generally just a very boring race to watch. So we might as well make some money on boring as well.
Yeah. I was asking Kelly about this before the race, and he was like, same tire compounds, Gil, same tire compounds, just like you did right now.
Hey, you know what? I actually think I can handle this one.
Yeah?
Soft, medium, hard.
There you go.
Boom.
Boom.
There are differing degrees of the soft,
course.
Medium,
oh, of
hard.
Of course, you're
Kelly.
Wrong yeah, about yeah. that, too.
We'll talk after the show, sure.
But listen, all right.
Let's call Sean Leclerc. Let's just call him Chuck. He earned it. And we're going to go back to the well.
Yes.
Winner without Verstappen.
I like it.
4-1. Now, this is not up anywhere currently. You know, like I said, the board is still populating. Anything more than 3-1, I say jump. He was fastest in free practice 2. He didn't participate in free practice 1. Everything we've seen, he is a rocket ship. The Ferraris, this track suits their car again. They have good mechanical grip to get out of the tight corners and the two long straights. It's very favorable. Sean Leclerc, Chuck, 4-1, winner without Verstappen.
To Chuck Leclerc. I feel like my dad when he used to watch baseball, because he couldn't understand what do you mean they throw 100 miles an hour? When I was watching these cars going 240 down the strip and then just slowing down so smoothly to make that left turn onto Harmon, it was just amazing to watch these cars. You also have a top 3 and top 10 market bet. What do you got here?
Okay, it's no mystery. We're taking Chuck in this market. It was plus 175. It's plus 145 available right now over at DraftKings, so you can still get in on that. Carlos Sainz, his teammate, we had that circled at plus 310. He wrecked in free practice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It is now plus 450. It's still a play to us, Gil. They're going to have plenty of time to put that car back together. He's going to qualify well. The Ferraris are good. I like this play. Lock them both in.
Okay. Top 10. What you got?
Top 10. Pierre Gasly and Alex Albon. We compare this track to Zandvoort, which is in the Netherlands. Both of these guys performed really, really well. Gasly finished third. Albon finished eighth earlier this year. And it wasn't due to field attrition, but rather raw speed. Albon also was incredible last week, but the team whiffed on the strategy. He had the speed. The pits, let him down. They left him out there too long on old tires. We're getting plus 240 for Albon now. Gasly hasn't changed. Lock them both in. Gasly and Albon, top 10 or points finish.
Okay, love it. And you do have one more here at the bottom. What's this one?
Okay, so this is a constructor championship prop. This is like the season-ending point standings. Mercedes leads Ferrari by 4 points in the overall standings. We like Ferrari to outperform Mercedes. So that's Chuck and Carlos Sainz over Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. Russell and Hamilton didn't perform very well today. They were 6th and 8th in practice. Chuck was first. I think Ferrari's just got the speed to get this done. They're going to score way more than 4 points more than Mercedes. Let's lock this in. And it's plus 110.
Okay, there it is. We put it up on the screen for those watching at VSiN, VSiN.com. Winner without Verstappen, Chuck Leclerc, Charles Leclerc. Top 3's got Leclerc and Sainz, Carlos Sainz at plus 310 on Sainz. And then top 10, Gasly and Albon, classified finishers over 18.5 at plus money. And then the Constructor Championship prop, Ferrari to finish 2nd as a short favorite. Instant crowd favorite, Phil Bobbitt. Phil, good luck, man. We'll all be tailing you on these. Thank you so much for making the time.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. I hope we see you in February for the Daytona 500.
Yes, we shall. Let's count on that, for God's sakes. Let's lock it in. Phil Bobbitt.
Let's write that in Sharpie.
That's Phil Bobbitt. You can follow him on Twitter again at SpeedwaySteve2. That's the number 2. F1 Abu Dhabi. Place your bets. Al Bernstein will join us, Boxing Hall of Fame analyst. Talk Benavidez Andre next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up on our Black Friday special now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $60. That's at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Always a pleasure when we have a true broadcasting legend on the show with us, and we have that right now. He is a boxing analyst, Hall of Famer, works at Showtime, has covered so many classic fights through the years. Pleasure, as always, to welcome. And one of VSiN's originals, by the way, it should be pointed out. Let that not slip through the cracks. It's Al Bernstein. Good morning to you, Al. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Very nice to talk to you on this weekend of holidays, football, and boxing.
That's right. Holidays is football, but there is boxing as well. Before we get to your thoughts on this fight this weekend between Benavidez and Andrade, I brought up the fact that you have covered so many fights. What, as you look back on all the great ones that you have, is there one that stands above the fray? I know that's such a difficult question to answer.
Right. It is. You know, it's funny. It seems impossible to say that. And yet there kind of is. There's one and there's 1A. You know, I did the Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns fight, which back in 1985, which of course was a remarkable event and a remarkable fight. That is number 1A. Number one is probably the fight in 2005 between Jose Luis Castillo and Diego Corrales, which has taken on mythic proportions since it happened. It turned out to be really one of the best title fights of all time, and maybe the best lightweight title fight of all time. Ironically, it was held at Mandalay Bay, which is where the fights will be tomorrow night. And that fight was amazing because it was kind of Hagler Hearns times three. You know, it went into the 10th round, and it had more drama and more excitement than almost anything I could remember.
Well, let's talk about this fight this weekend. This is David Benavidez against Demetrius Andrade. The winner, one would assume, you know what they say about assuming, especially in the fight game, but one would assume would take on Canelo Alvarez. Benavidez is 27-0. He's 26 years old, considered in his prime. Andrade is also undefeated, 32-0, but he's 35 years old. How is it, first of all, before we get into what you think about this fight, how is it that Andrade has gone this long, Al, without really ever having a marquee fight?
It's actually one of the strangest anomalies in the sport. He's actually won two championships in the process, and that also says something about boxing's championship structure. But the simple narrative would tell you is that he's an avoided fighter, that at the end of the day, all the big fights weren't made because people avoided him. The other part of that narrative, though, that would leave out is that Demetrius Andrade has made some odd business decisions in his career, like going with Roc Nation when they were trying to transition into boxing and turning down lucrative offers, sometimes with networks that would have gotten him to big fights. But be that as it may, here we are, and here's Demetrius Andrade at age 35, finally getting his opportunity to be in a fight that is getting major attention, is a major pay-per-view fight, and as you point out, is likely to lead to an even bigger opportunity.
Yeah, super middleweight fight. It will be at the Michelob Ultra Arena here in Las Vegas, as Al pointed out. So Benavidez is a big favorite. It seems to only be bleeding bigger. He's a -470 favorite. Andrade is +334 on the comeback. The total on the rounds is set at 10.5, with the under being the underdog, the over actually being juiced at -162. So folks, or at least the market, expecting that this could go the distance. How do you think this goes? How do we bet it?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one on many levels. First of all, Benavidez has had a couple of slow starts in several fights. In his last fight against Caleb Plant, also a boxer, a little bit like Andre, he lost on one card. He lost all five first rounds, and he was behind by on two other cards in the first five rounds, but then stormed back to win and convincingly beat Caleb Plant. So if any special bets that involve, the early rounds make sense, it is possible that Andre could go down in this fight and come back to win a decision. That's one of the specials that was on there. And that is an interesting proposition because Andre has been down a couple times in his career, but yet he's undefeated. Also, as far as the over-under is concerned, the 10.5 rounds, they've done a very good job, I think, of identifying where that is, it should be. But in his last fight, Benavidez was forced to go the full distance after having scored knockouts in five fights prior to that, stoppages. If Andre has his way, this fight will go 12 rounds. And Andre has scored 13 knockdowns in his recent fights going back a ways. So he's capable of knockdowns. So if he could get a knockdown somewhere, that would help him have a 10-8 round here and there and maybe get a decision. So if I was looking at this bout, Andre is just enough of an underdog to make him a live dog to bat if you like his style. And if you think this is his coming out party, I think that's an okay bet. I think that the over is a pretty good bet, in my opinion, because I think this is the kind of fight that is likely to go long. And there could be a late stoppage, but I'm thinking that they would probably get to the over.
Okay, but I like that one, just to clarify. I got you. So you lean to the over, but you did mention in there that if you do think that Andre is live, Andre to get knocked down early, to get knocked down period, and then win... Yeah. Is a pretty interesting bet, and you can get that at really it long odds on DraftKings. Yeah.
Yes, DraftKings has created a good special there because that's an interesting bet because of the fact that we've seen it before, and Benavidez Plant was similar to Andre in some ways. Benavidez didn't finish him. And so that one to me is interesting. And of course, it's interesting because the odds are so good at that.
Absolutely. Al, always a pleasure. Really appreciate you. We'll do it with every big fight if you will make the time for us.
I am always at your disposal, Gil.
Thank you, Al. Al Bernstein, everybody. The great Al Bernstein, Hall of Fame boxing analyst, Hearns Hagler. I mean, the fact that there's one that's comparable to Hearns Hagler, the greatest 8 minutes of fighting ever. That was back in 1985. Where Hagler stopped Tommy Hearns after it looked like he would get stopped in just 8 minutes of brutality. And Al, by the way, also is still in town singing. He has a lounge act here.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
When he first texted
guys, and like, you brought it up, most people probably don't know it. Worked for Veasan.
Yes.
One of the few guys.
Was one of the originals of Veasan.
Yeah, one of the few guys that beat me here, that's for sure. There's not many of them. Al and I never worked together.
First day was 5 hours. It was Brent for two, me for one, and Al Bernstein for two right afterwards. Yeah, middle of the day. I thought when he texted me, I was like, Gil, I'm seating you my lounge act. I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to get to sing. No, it didn't happen that way. All right, we're going into the weekend. Good luck with all your bets here. Before we go, just want to let you know again, my two that I still have remaining on the card this week. I am on the Eagles -3 against the Bills tomorrow. I am on the Vikings. Bought it down to -3. Both in the Eagles case, I didn't have to buy it down. In the Vikings case, I did. Though that is, I'm seeing threes now in that two in some spots also. Both are three, I think, in multiple spots. So
yep.
Those are the ones I ended up with, the Eagles and the Vikings. I went 1-2 yesterday, which is not a favorable start, obviously. I went with San Francisco, but I did have both the commodes plus the points, and like everybody else, I had the Lions yesterday. You? What's left for you, NFL or otherwise?
Timberwolves tonight, Raptors, you don't want to bet at the current price. How about my 10-point teaser I just got in during the last segment?
Yes.
Iowa, Nebraska over 14.5, Toledo plus a half, Dolphins plus a half, Giants plus 13.5.
The Giants are so going to kill you.
I'm
on
so
that.
Excited for this teaser.
That's right.
It's so dorky. And then my remaining NFL boys, slim pickings after that Lions game. Jags, Texans over. I still like that at current price. I play Giants plus 3.5 and Browns, Broncos under 37.
What a weekend. Starting in less than 5 minutes with Iowa and Nebraska. Of course, the Dolphins and the Jets today, Black Friday. Get your shopping in while you watch football if you want to. Good luck with all of it from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.